This is Shudders Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 215 of Shudders Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuddersIncPodcast.com, and joining me on the line via Skype from Melbourne once again, Mr. Glyn Lavender. How are you, mate?
I'm okay. seeing you ask, and I'm sort of doing okay. I'm excellent, dude. I'm always excellent.
Fantastic.
It should just be a given. It should be Glyn from Skype from Melbourne, and he's excellent.
Okay, I'll remember that for next week.
We'll put into the bio. You know? I'm awesome, thanks, mate. I've had an exciting week of doing not a great deal, and life is good.
Fantastic. So nothing.
How are you? No, Bruce. Seriously, how are you?
Oh, mate. I'm still on cloud nine from three Springsteen concerts last week. It was unbelievable. Those who are friends with me on Facebook will have seen on Friday night, which I only managed to get a ticket for the third show on the day of the third show. So it was kind of, you know, I didn't know if it was going to come through or not. It did. And it was a GA ticket, so instead of a seat in the arena, it was, you know, on the floor, you know, in front of the stage, which means it's very much a first in, best dressed to see what sort of position you get. And I was honestly not that concerned about, you know, trying to get right down the front, you know, near the stage. I, you know, was just happy to be down on the floor with, you know, all the hardcore fans who are, you know, really into it. And so I arrived at the venue at about 5:15, got my ticket, went off to grab myself some lunch, some dinner. There was already the lineup for the GA admittance, because the GA area, you enter through a separate door. And so, you know, all these hardcore fans, I mean, I am a hardcore fan, but I just wasn't, you know, that worried.
But you're old.
Yeah, so anyway, so these guys are all lining up, you know, to get into the arena as early as they can. I came back from getting dinner, it was about 6:15, and they'd already let the GA line go into the venue. So I thought, okay, sweet, I'll wander on in. And I've got into the venue, and I've looked down on the floor, and there was seriously only about 70 people across the front of the stage, and I thought, if I'm prepared to stand there for, admittedly, you know, an hour and a half before Springsteen comes on, I could go down there right now and get myself quite a good spot. And then I'm going to be on my feet for the next 3 hours for the show, you know. So it means.
So you, what you're telling me is you didn't do that, did you?
I did.
You did?
I did.
Oh, man.
And I was.
Kudos.
There was one guy leaning on the stage standing in front of me. So I was second row from the stage. And, yeah, it was just awesome. Absolutely stunning. Again, 3-hour, 5-minute show. You know, we worked out that over the three nights he played in Sydney, right, he played 75 songs, and out of those, 63 were unique, which is pretty awesome. There aren't too many artists that...
Unless, of course, you're going to hear the hits.
Well,
you know, I want to hear Born to Run 13 times in 13 shows or whatever.
Well, you see, Born to Run is one of those tracks that you will hear every night because it's part of the encores. Born in the USA, which everyone was saying to me after the Monday show and after the Wednesday show, everyone was going, oh, did he play Born in the USA? And I go, no, he very rarely plays that song anymore. Friday night, boom, out it comes.
Oh, really? So the show's starting to sound more appealing to me already, but now gone back downhill again.
It was just an awesome week. I was absolutely knackered by Saturday.
I just how was your lower back holding up? Yeah.
Not too bad. I tell you what. By the time we walked out on Friday night, like, I'd been, you know, standing in a, you know, 60-centimeter square for 4.5 hours. It was so good to get the hips moving again. I was like, oh, man, I seriously need to just bend right now.
I think you should always take like a can of WD-40 to any concert. So, yeah, keep lubricating yourself
pretty
as you go
much,
along.
Pretty much.
It's going to wheel you out at the end of the show. Sorry, the legs don't move anymore. You're going to have to carry me.
So it was a good week.
Well, my mate Adam's offered his fifth show of the tour so far tonight.
Wow.
So he's up for 16 hours of song. Apparently he's grabbed his ass about four times. I think marriage is the next step.
Right.
He's met him twice, got stuff signed. Yeah, he's one of those Bruceophiles.
Yep.
But it's good. You've got to have passion.
Absolutely.
Here's a segue. That's what we have about photography, isn't it?
It is. Get the podcast back on track. Yes.
You say something else, though, weren't you? I
was just going to say one more thing, and that was that, you know, I don't mind. I feel like I can justify having, you know, three concerts in one week because of the fact that Springsteen has only been here four times in his entire career, and it was 10 years since the last visit, you know, so...
Exactly. So that's what I mean. When's the chance you're going to... I've got a new sort of social networking friend from New South Wales who's into photography, and she's coming down to Melbourne.
Right.
She said, look, can we get together to do, you know, something shoot-wise? And she's only in for 4 days, and the only time that's available for me is the Friday night, where she can come to my artistic nude workshop.
Right.
But she's got to go see Tenacious D.
Oh, wow.
Because she's a mad music. I met her through music, not through photography.
Right.
And so there's a segue. We could kind of link photography back into the podcast.
Do you know, it is funny how many audio engineers get into photography.
Really?
It is bizarre. Like, so many of my contemporaries in the radio industry who are also mad keen photographers. It is just, crazy.
Tech geek heads, basically.
I think it must be. I think it must be.
A certain amount of, I guess a lot of the post-processing is a level of control and stuff in there that for their psyche.
Well, I think it's another creative outlet. Like, so it's, you know, those of us who are creative and who've started careers as audio engineers then look for other creative outlets, and I guess, you know, photography is one of the natural places to progress to if it wasn't where you started.
Yeah.
I'd be interested to know how many photographers venture into other creative outlets.
Well, I mean, speaking for myself, I've never done anything creative in my life. I'm creatively bereft.
Oh, rubbish.
I tried poetry and that was just really just so bad. You know, I could recite some in next week's episode, though, if I'm...
This sounds like a scene out of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy.
No one wants to hear that. I thought of doing stand-up, but I was far too lazy. So I looked for sit-down comics, and there were none. That career choice went down the toilet. So for me, creatively, it is pretty much photography. I would love to be able to play music.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, but I have no ability whatsoever.
So you should take up the instrument that I play, which is harmonica, because a blues harmonica is in a set key, so you can't hit a wrong note.
Oh, no, I can. I had lessons. I did like an 8-week course on the blues harmonica, and when he said bend the note, I actually bent the harmonica by mistake. You know, apparently a little bit too much thumb.
Right.
Just a little bit too tight. You're just holding that second room too tight. When the cats next door started howling and leaving, I thought I'd better give that up too. So whilst I've tried, I used to play trumpet in my school orchestra for the 3 weeks I went to school, and funny enough, those 2 weeks of trumpet lessons didn't lead me to any great skill either for some reason.
Right.
But it's like anything in life, I guess I've never put the time into it. You know, if it's 10,000 hours to be good at something, as we were talking about last week, you know, how long are you prepared to persevere with an artistic side of something to get good at it?
Yeah.
How much do you really have the passion for it? Do you really have the drive to want to put the hours in?
Well, I think that the whole idea of the 10,000 hours was to become a master at it. It requires 10,000 hours, but do you absolutely have to be a master of
it? I put like 6 hours into that trumpet, though. You know, I wasn't even good by that stage, can you believe? After 6 hours.
That's just terrible.
Man.
Hope you got your money back.
I sold the trumpet, yeah. paid myself a trip. So photography.
Yes. Getting the podcast back on track for the second time.
Or the third, I think.
What are we going to talk about this week?
No idea. I think that's it. Thanks for coming. Right. I hope you have a good time, and we'll talk to you next week. Yeah, we know everyone has time poor these days, Bruce.
So that's exactly right.
We kept short and succinct this week.
Absolutely.
And we haven't bothered their mentality with any talk about photography, which can add stress to some people's lives.
Right.
We're doing a community service.
By not talking about photography.
Absolutely.
Fantastic. I got an email from Carl Hemmings.
Did you send one back apologising for everything we've said and done?
No, I didn't.
Oh, so it wasn't one of those emails.
he said, just listen to your latest podcast about calibrating and your Borneo upcoming trip. Very informative.
You're calibrating Borneo?
Yeah, apparently.
It's a big job to do.
Very informative. Just a note, the printing guy's voice, that would be Les Walkling, kept dropping out. He must have had low bandwidth, but great show. Thought you might like to read about Scott Kelby's travel experiences with his, is it Carter or Cater bag?
Yeah. I think it's actually spelled C-R-A-P.
Okay. Right.
No.
What? Well, Carl has spelled it K-A-T-A, so I'll assume that it's Cater. He's given me the link, and to be honest, I actually haven't got around to reading the link that you sent me yet, Carl, but I promise I will actually get around to reading it, but I just haven't done it yet. But I will share that in the show notes for anyone who's interested as well.
So it's how to travel the world and get great photos by using Grand A bags.
Something like that.
Because, being sponsored by a Lowy Pro myself, I would say, no, honestly, to get a really good photograph, you need Brand B. But that's just me.
That's right.
But no, if there's some good tips on looking after your year and stuff, that's all valid. But, amazing stuff.
I also got you would have seen this as well on Facebook today. Rakesh Shah sent me a message saying,
he's a lovely guy.
He's a top guy.
He is. I don't say that about many people because, I don't like many people, but he was a good guy. He came to New Zealand and Mia won a shoot a lot of tour.
Ah, that's right. He did too.
Yeah, good guy.
And he used to live in Sydney, but he's now living in Singapore.
He is.
Yeah, we're actually going to hook up with him on the way home from Borneo. Right. But Rakesh sent us a message on Facebook saying another way to tackle the moisture issue when travelling in, humid environments is to throw your lenses into Ziploc bags because then the condensation basically just forms on the inside of the Ziploc bag rather than on the inside of your lens. So,
Depends on what you've been using the baggies for beforehand. I mean, in some of these Asian countries, sort of powdery or grassy type substances could lead you in a fair bit of Chappelle Corby-ish trouble.
Yes, exactly.
A very good friend of mine many years ago had troubles getting to New Zealand because he had some powdery residue in the bottom of his wallet.
Right.
And some grassy residue in the cuffs of his trousers.
Whoops.
And the smell of dog, sat next to him. And he thought he was being set up by some friends of his who'd gone through earlier, who are New Zealanders.
He thought
they were mates. So they've taken him into the room interrogated. He's laughing. He goes, good on you. I suppose you want me to strip down to you, fellas? And they've gone, yes.
No.
So he's up. He's taking his trousers off, pretending to be taking his shirt off, thinking it's all a joke, and his mates are going to come in any minute. And he's got down just his underwear, and they're still looking there seriously at him. He's going, what? You're serious? And he says, "Look, bring the dog back in. Bring the dog back in." He's desperate. Please, bring the dog. But no, he had to call to get the full nudity going.
Wow.
And into this powdered stuff out of his wallet onto the counter. Said, "Can you explain what that is?" He's going to put this powdery stuff on my wallet because your wallet, you get that kind of like, gritty, grainy sort of, was it just me, butterflies and stuff. There's got a little bit of residue of just stuff going in and out all the time.
It was probably the fingerprint powder off the notes.
if you look at the bottom of your own wallet, you'll find just a very small dusting.
Right.
And they said, "Well, can you explain the grass?" He goes, "Well, I've got a drive-on lawnmower at home and some must have got, it was real grass."
Oh, really?
And eventually they brought the dog in and the dog had no interest in looking at him at all.
Right.
So I think it was the dog playing the practical joke.
Right.
But, Yeah, so be careful. Now, if you are using Ziploc baggies, I reckon buying new ones. Yeah, those people from Glad do a fantastic job of brand new Ziploc baggies. Yes. But it's a smart idea. I would probably go once.
The only problem with it, though, is unless you could find one hell of a big Ziploc baggie, what are you going to do with the camera body itself?
Well, exactly. And I'd really want to try and sort of suction out as much of the air out of the inside bag as well, because that's still going to hold on. And maybe double bag it.
Yep.
Yeah, so try and get the first one really, really tight with as little air in there as possible, because that's where the condensation is going to come from, the air.
Yep.
And then the second one doesn't have to be quite so tight, it can build in there, it's not a problem. So maybe double bagging would be a good way around it.
Mm.
But just not take your camera gear.
Yeah, yeah, like that's an option.
Yeah, never going to happen. Yeah, I'd rather kill a camera.
Just to backtrack for our American listeners, the Chappelle Corby reference may have gone over their heads. Chappelle Corby is an Australian girl who was travelling from Brisbane, from memory?
Yeah, that's right.
Brisbane to Bali, and she, whether or not she was guilty or not, I guess we'll never know, but she was accused of trying to smuggle drugs into Bali inside a boogie board, and I think she tried to blame her brother for it.
She tried to blame Sydney Customs, actually. The baggage handler conspiracy.
Okay, right.
And that would always work.
So initially she was sentenced to death in Bali by the Balinese court. That was later overturned and commuted to a 25-year sentence. And I think she's, about 8 or 9 years into that sentence now?
Yeah, she's been going a while.
And I think they're hoping that she might get an early release for good behaviour after about half of that. So probably around 2 years from now, she might get out if she's lucky. So Our American listeners probably wouldn't have been familiar with the story, but it was quite big news here in Australia.
Well, that's because it did happen inside their borders.
That's right.
But you can edit that bit out, can't you, Brewster? Yeah, it's all good. I love America, as you know. I go there often. Please let me back in next time I come. I didn't mean most of it. So that's
the NSA's echelon system will have picked that up, mate. You're toast. You're never getting back in those borders again.
I'll sneak in through Canada. I didn't say that either. So that's a good little tip from our mate Rakesh. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. Did you get any other fantastic mail from an incredible wealth of smart listeners?
I did. I got one from Richard Animal.
Oh, no, I said our smart listeners.
I don't know you were going there.
Richard
sent me an email.
Can you insert like a little overdubbed boom tish just there for me?
I'll do what I can.
That's okay. Just tell me your dicks. I never listen back to these things.
Okay, fair enough. Richard said, there's a film by James... Oh, God, how do you pronounce that? N-A-C-H-T-W-E-Y. Nuktwe?
Yeah, sounds good.
I'll go with that. After Robert Capa, is probably the world's most famous war photographer. The film is called War Photographer, and it's www.war-photographer.com. And one of the most fascinating things about this is that there is a mini camera that shoots the point of view of the camera. So you can see the display and watch as he adjusts his exposure and shutter speed. It's an amazing movie, both eye-opening and moving. Richard Animal. So thank you, Richard. I shall also be checking that link out as well.
And go back in your shell. Yeah. No, he sent me a lovely email this week.
We've only got four. You can't get rid of them like this.
I said something nice about Rakesh. Oh,
That's good.
I didn't even say a word about Carl. I love you, Carl. So there's two of our four listeners appeased.
Fantastic.
No, he's good. He sent me a lovely letter this week saying that he was enjoying the new version of the podcast and having the odd titter as he listens to it at work, which is awesome. So
fantastic.
Thanks for that, Richard. I appreciate the feedback. It's always been tough stepping back into an existing program and trying to
for sure
do feel like you're welcomed.
I think anything's an improvement over me trying to do it on my own. So
yeah, I've got those emails from the other three. Awesome. What else are we going to talk about? There's got to be something out there.
There was one thing that I'll take a circuitous route to get to this. Last week, a thing that was announced was Google announced that they were closing down Google Reader.
Yeah.
Now, not a lot of people use Google Reader, but the people who do...
Hey, they've got more than we've got listeners, dude.
the thing is that the people who do use it are very, very passionate about it. And what Google Reader is essentially a way to curate a whole bunch of RSS feeds, which is essentially like, you know, blogs that you might follow, into one place. And what Google Reader does is allow you to create folders so that things can be, you know, different feeds can be associated together within a folder.
Yeah.
So, you know, I have a folder of tech feeds and I have a folder of photography feeds and all different categories. And what it does is it pulls in the title of the blog post and, you know, maybe the first, you know, 50 words or so of the blog post and allows you to then link through to the original website if you want to read the rest of it. So it's a great way to consume, you know, massive quantities of blogs without actually having to go to every individual blog. And anyway, Google's decided that, you know, for whatever reason, they're going to shut the system down. And I was looking around for alternate systems through which to read, you know, multiple RSS feeds. And one of the things that was mentioned, because I think it was Lifehacker or Gizmodo, one of those tech blogs, did a couple of posts about, you know, now that the demise of Google Reader has been announced, you may want to try out some of these other alternatives. And so I was going through some of these alternatives and I saw a mention of NetVibes. And
ooh.
I suddenly remembered that I used to use NetVibes religiously before I discovered...
Well, every Sunday.
Yeah.
No. Between 9 and 11.
Even more religiously than that, like every day. And so I thought, why don't I go and have another look at that? So I went back, logged into my NetVibes account, and went, oh, this is really good. This does exactly what I want it to do. And, you know, I will go back to using NetVibes because, yeah, once Google Reader disappears in, I think it's June of this year, this is my next best option. And it was in the process of logging back into NetVibes that I found that I had some other photography feeds that I had never imported into my Google Reader settings. And I went, oh, there's these other blogs that I used to read that I haven't been following.
You got the CPW updates again now, haven't you?
Exactly. <yeah. laughs> And I will confess, I didn't actually take note of which blog this came from, but in the process of going through one of these old other blogs, but a fairly recent post, I came across a thing called the Nero Trigger, N-E-R-O Trigger. And it's just...
How do you spell trigger, sorry?
T-R-I-G-G-E-R. G-O-G-O. Sorry, Australian reference. So it's nerotrigger.com. And what this thing is a device that you can plug into your camera and it can trigger the shutter for you based on sound events,
ooh,
light,
okay, yeah,
events.
Yeah,
yeah. So, and there's some other functions, I can't remember what they are. It does a strobe thing, so you can set it up to do multiple exposures. But the idea of the light sensor is that, you know, if you want to do lightning photography,
yeah,
you can just,
yeah,
set your camera up, manual focus, you know, and as soon as light is detected in the sky, and all of the modes have adjustable thresholds, so, you know, you could set a camera up if you felt that, you know, there was, oh, movement is another one, so you know, you could set the camera up on a tripod to watch your back door, and if someone's creeping by your back door in the middle of the night, the camera will take a photo because it'll sense the movement.
And full bore flash will blind them.
Exactly.
Love it.
So yeah, it's quite an interesting looking product, and I'm trying to debate whether to splash out the cash and pick one up because it certainly
a couple hundred bucks, aren't they?
Yeah, but if you know, based on what it says it does, it looks like it'd be a very handy little piece of kit to have in your bag.
I've got to say, I think there's a few other ones like it around, but this looks like a nice. Probably. I'm throwing it out there with my. You know, the problem is I come across so many products. So I know I've seen stuff like this before, but nailing it down to exactly what.
Right.
Or exactly which brand. It may have even been this one, but certainly lightning triggers I've come across before, and I think they're an awesome idea. I find I just can't press that button fast enough.
No.
I can't do it. trying to preempt lightning, I think it's going to happen now. Oh, I've missed.
Nope.
Now. that's not a very satisfying way to shoot, I've got to say, you know.
Of course, if you've got a cable trigger, then you could get some good lightning shots just by opening the trigger up when there's no lightning. And
yeah, you just lock it open for a period of time. But you're still kind of hoping.
Just put it on bulb.
Yeah. Well, I used to get exposure. I used to get the correct exposure for the environment you're shooting in too, though. So if it's the middle of the afternoon, thunderstorm kind of thing.
That's going to be a bit harder. But if it's nighttime.
Yeah, but I think the Nero trigger, I reckon there'd still be a light intensity change.
Oh, yeah.
Certainly, I think your percentage of good shots would improve, especially if you're trying to get a little bit more mood into the clouds or trying to get a particular exposure.
Yep.
Especially that's it's relatively fast. I think it's pretty darn cool. Pretty darn
so
cool.
So if anybody amongst our listeners have ever used the Nero trigger, I'd love to hear from you.
Or, more importantly, know the people who manufacture them so they can send us some free ones.
Even better.
Get it right. Bruce, come on. pimp ourselves out here.
Absolutely.
I mean, all we want is one to evaluate for, one each.
Two to evaluate.
To evaluate for, eight, 9 years? Or until they get a new version?
That's right.
Until the Nero Trigger 2 comes out.
Which we will need to evaluate so we can compare it against the first model.
Do you know what would be awesome to do?
What's that?
Get a Nero Trigger.
Hmm.
Merged with a Tesla coil that can generate its own lightning. So you've got this awesome scene, but wouldn't this be awesome with lightning? Well, here you go. Little remote control. You fly it up into the sky, shoot lightning exactly where you want.
Fantastic idea.
It may sound silly, but there's a market. I reckon there's a market for that. Or you could do it in Photoshop. But it's not as much fun as flying something like a remote control.
Exactly.
Creating your own lightning is. If people don't know Tesla and the lightning stuff he used to generate, definitely worth googling.
Would certainly satisfy your god complex, wouldn't it?
You fly it over top of some lovely deer, just gently eating at the edge of a forest, and just the look on their faces would be worth capturing.
And then your Nero trigger would get you a photograph of an airborne deer.
Well, here's the thing, though. It should shoot from up there, and you simultaneously shoot from the ground and from the sky, so you get two perspectives of the shot. So I like where you're coming from with that, Bruce. It's adding a whole new level. That's like the Mark II. It's like the next more expensive version than this basic just flying lightning trigger. Laugh now, but if this comes out in 3 years, I wonder what.
We'll have a record of prior art. We'll be able to claim patent.
We just want free ones. It's all in that. It's free. Since we're pimping out products, I made a photo book today.
Oh, really?
Why don't people make photo books, Bruce?
Because they're lazy.
Because it takes too long, doesn't it?
Yes.
I made one.
Yeah.
In 2 minutes, maybe, and that was as long as it took to open the app.
You know, one photo does not a photo book make.
What? Don't say I'm going to go in again. No, seriously, it's an iPhone app called Mosaic.
Okay.
Mosaic. And it's very new. I found it when I was in CES in Vegas in January.
Yeah.
And I've been meaning to do something with it. But I had a lovely weekend with my two girls this weekend. It's not often I get Saturday and Sunday together.
Yeah.
So I normally run workshops. But my wife was at a conference on Saturday, so I was on daddy daycare.
Right.
An awesome weekend. I took some great photos only with the phone, rather sad. But some great shots of the girls playing, having fun. But this Mosaic app, basically you open it, you just press... You can have up to choose up to 20 photos, and so you first have to press the button 20 times. It's fairly repetitive, but choose the 20 photos you want. It automatically generates the book. It's got this incredible mosaic front cover, which looks fantastic. You press one button, it's done.
And what does it do? It then uploads to their server.
the servo, you get a confirmation email, you put the payment in and away it goes.
Wow.
And in 3 to 9 months, I don't know how long it's going to take, in however long it takes to get here, I'm going to have this awesome, so I'll give you a report when it lands.
Awesome.
From the US. So the postage was more than the book itself.
Right. Yeah.
But if you're in the US, I mean, the book's $20.
Wow.
Hardcover.
How many pages?
Well, it's 20 full-page photos of a single photo.
Yeah, right.
And then a front cover page with a little mosaic on. Check out the website or the app, and I think it looks pretty cool. For something where you've had, you know, my big thing about photo books has always been it's just too much work.
Yeah.
Yeah. People feel they've got to make this momentous tome, this lifetime achievement product that's going to be there as a memorial to them when they're gone. That's too much pressure to start with and too much work. But, you know, I've always said that a photo book should be, I took my girl to the park and we played with a kite.
Right.
And I took 20 or 30 photos of that, and I want to remember that as that special moment that it was.
Yeah.
And that's what this is. It's like I took these 20 photos over the course of 2 days. I took more than that, of course, because, that's what we do. Chose them, printed, took no effort to make, therefore I'm going to do it.
Yep.
And I'm going to have a printed record of this thing that I'll be able to treasure, the kids will be able to look at. And I was just to digress on kids and photo books, I was in Mackay recently, I was staying with don't let her hear me say this wonderful lady called Amanda Fraser. I was staying at her place with her family.
Right.
We're quite good friends. And she's got, 13, 14 kids, something like that. It's like five, but they kind of all look the same, and they're always running so fast. It's hard to tell exactly how many. But you know what I noticed over the course of the few days
I was there. The house is full of mirrors.
But over the course I was there, the kids kept going to their photo books and picking them up and just sitting there and reading through them by themselves. I'm talking like 4-year-old children, 6-year-old children would just go over and pick up a photo book of their life and sit and look through it and just smile quietly, not be running around showing everyone, not getting all sort of, look at this, look what we did, but just enjoying it for their own enjoyment.
Wow.
And I loved it. I thought it was just it was a wondrous thing to see. There was a psychology report done quite a few years ago about the importance of printed photos in the house for children growing up and how it anchors their psyche into the family, their relationship, their status in the family, the other people that circle their family, reinforce the events and the kind of upbringing you're trying to bring the children. It's all supported by photos.
Yeah, right.
And this is just an awesome example of it. So, for my kids, it's something I definitely want to be able to get more and more active in. But I know I'm incredibly lazy, and I'm not going to do it unless it's as easy as something like this mosaic, which is it's a simple and quick and enjoyable little experience. And if the book's of a reasonable quality, I'll be wrapped. And I think that's what a photo book should be. It's about capturing an event or a moment in time and keeping it in its own little place.
I'll be interested to hear the quality of it when you get it.
Yeah. What episode are we up to now?
215.
Okay, so about episode 300 when it arrives. I don't know, these things can take a while. Actually, a few years ago, I ordered a book. This is before anyone in Australia was really doing books. I ordered a book from the US, and it arrived on my desk, and about 5 pages in, there was a small scratch on the page.
Right.
It's a black and white photo, so it was kind of obvious. So I emailed, this is on a Thursday, I emailed them on Thursday, and they said, our apologies, we'll send you another one straight away. It arrived on the following Monday.
Wow.
From the US, completely done.
Wow.
Exactly, that's what I thought. I was staggered. But that's the sort of modern technology. Everything's coded, and you can say, well, just hit this button, hit reprint again, and it's done. And
yeah, right.
I'm expecting, hopefully, to have it in the next week or two, and we can talk about it, which would be fantastic. So what else? Anything else? I've got a couple of little things.
Yeah, you were going to talk about your hard drive, Carl.
Oh, yeah, I'm having some fun. well, what happened? Yeah.
John, never like that person either.
No, first you open them in Photoshop, do awful things to their faces in Photoshop, then delete. It was that action first, yeah. I had a hard drive fail on me.
Oh, no.
Without any backup.
Oh, dude, seriously?
I know. Yeah, well, I'm a lazy photographer, and the photos generally aren't that important to me. Except the ones of my kids, yeah. You know. But these are all sort of workshop and travel stuff. And there's, but yeah, there was like four photos in there I really wanted. Out right. of like 10 months worth of shooting, there's four photos that I really wanted. And after, I don't know, 3 or 4 months of sending to different people to get them to work on it, this awesome guy in Sydney fixed it for me.
Right.
Transferred all the data to a new hard drive. So I'm going through that and because my whole workflow is, well, what would the word be? What would be the best way to describe my workflow? Oh, non-existent. No, it's not totally true. I do put, you know, the file, the date of the photo of the, is the file naming system. I remember when that was taken. I like to wear a T-shirt that says I'm a member of the disorganization. Yeah.
Right.
And if it wasn't for disorganization, I wouldn't have any organization.
Yep.
So I've been going through all these, but I've been finding all these hidden gems again that things that, oh, one day I'll do something with that. Oh, I'll look at that another time. And so I've been going through culling, not culling so much, but, ooh, there's a photo. I want to do something with that. I've had a bit of time this week, so.
I've seen a couple that you've put up on Facebook. Beautiful shots.
Yeah, old stuff that been sitting in the drive for a year and a half or whatever, and and because I don't shoot many landscapes, and there's a couple in the landscape, that's kind of cool because I don't do very many. And
The stuff I've seen you put up with the autumn leaves and the creek, is that from New Zealand?
No, it's a wee stream in Pennsylvania somewhere.
Aha, right.
Didn't even know what it's called, wouldn't even know where it is, could never find it again. But, you know, streams right. like that, they're a dime a dozen, they're everywhere.
Yeah, right.
But it's just a turned down a side road, there it was, and oh, that'll loop. As light was failing, it was a good, and my one day off to take some photos. So, it's a couple of nice little landscapes, but it's a very ordinary environment. But once again, as we say with last week, composition can change our view of the world.
Mm.
Yeah, this is in a very average location, but if you only see this part that looks good, you think the whole thing's nice.
Yeah, right.
And it was a fairly urban stream, but it wouldn't look it to. I actually walked through people's gardens to get to it.
Oh right, know? Yeah, it looks like you're in the middle of nowhere.
Exactly. So that's a sort of reinforces the point from last week. And people are saying on Facebook, oh, it's awesome. Where is it? I want to go. I'm going, no, really? You don't want to go there. Which leads us perfectly as a segue into the other thing I've been doing today, which is going through travel apps.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, fine. Because I'm building this travel photography workshop.
Mm-hmm.
And part of the workshop is all about, well, how do you research what you want to see?
Yep.
Before you get there, what tools do you use? Not only to research before you get there, but also when you're on the ground, what apps, what things can make your life as a photographer easier?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any you use?
No, but straight off the top of my head, I would have said TripAdvisor.
Yeah, absolutely. But there's other ways to connect into that.
Okay, right.
Which, there's a thing called Kayak.
Okay.
Which links into TripAdvisor, and Kayak allows you to do all these
spell the way you spell Kayak. Yep.
Or is that how you spell it? No, yeah. That's exactly. Oh, I thought it started with a C. Like canoe. No, it's the same thing, so surely it starts with a C as well, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it, Bruce? Come on, wouldn't it? This language is so. I'm trying to teach my 5-year-old how to read. Kayak. It's the same thing. Why can't they start with the same letter? It's too confusing to teach a kiddo. I had to teach her. She was learning the word R tonight. A-R-E. She turns to me. She goes, "Why isn't it just an R?" I said, "I don't know. Why have we got an E? Why have we got an E? Maybe these kids with this text messaging—they've got it down to. I don't know. Maybe
they're onto something."
But Kayak, you can link all your flight details and all your trips and all your hire car stuff or your plane information and all your hotel information into this one app.
Right.
Plus, if you need to find something else, it accesses all the user reviews from TripAdvisor and all that sort of stuff via the app as well.
Right.
So it's a pretty good sort of central resource to sort of catalogue all your stuff. So that's a pretty cool little app, I would say.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of things I've been looking at is an essential thing I would have thought was a currency converter.
Sorry, just before we move on, Kayak, is that iOS, Android, both?
Neither? Yes, both, iOS and Android,
mm-hmm.
Cool. And it works on phones too. Android. It's not a robot. Come on. You're not fooling anybody.
Don't get me anybody. Started.
You're not fooling anybody, is what I'm saying. And no one believes the other thing's an apple either, because it doesn't taste like one at all.
But it'll blend.
These marketing people, they will blend. But a currency converter would make a lot of sense.
Yeah.
As a travel photographer, it's about all the tools that make your trip as easy as possible.
Particularly if you were going to be travelling through multiple countries on your trip, that would certainly be an essential. If you're only going to one country, then maybe not.
And if,
not
if
as
it's
much.
Your own country, let's say if you're going interstate, it's probably not much use.
Probably not much use.
You know, but, you know, there's some strange people out there. I had a lady many years ago come to get a passport photo taken because she was travelling to the next state. And seriously? I said, look, just because you're going on a plane, you realise you don't you need a passport. She goes, no, I'm driving. I thought she'd made a mistake because she was flying, but no. And when I explained to her, look, you really don't need a passport to travel in your own country, she said, look, I better get one anyway, just be on the safe side.
Right.
Okey-dokey.
Whatever.
Yeah. So maybe an XE currency converter, which is the one I use, would be a handy thing for the lady.
Yes.
So, 5 cents Australian dollars here in Sydney.
Yeah.
So, currency is definitely, like if you're going somewhere through Europe, where you could be in three countries in a day and not on the euro, or Asia, very similar sort of scenario in some areas, you have multiple currencies. So, it's kind of a good thing that keeps your head stuck on straight.
Yeah.
And there's a relatively new app by Trey Ratcliffe, who you may know as the HDR Wunderkind photographer from New Zealand these days. He's got he does a website called Stuck in Customs.
Yep.
Stuck in Customs, which I think is up there with some of the stupidest names of photography business I've ever heard. But, you know, whatever gets you through the night.
Yep.
You know, sorry, I'm just one of those. Call it what it is so people know where to look. You know, idohdr.com. That's not a bad one. Look at me. Yeah, I should call my business. Look at me. he's got a great looking app called Stuck on Earth.
Okay.
And it's basically a research tool for photographers. So you're thinking about going on this trek, let's say through Borneo, and you're going through this particular pathway, you go on there and it gives you, not only does it give you other people's photographs taken in the area, it gives you photography tips, it gives you let's say you're in New York, because it's bigger than Borneo, it gives you the 50 top things to shoot in New York.
Yeah,
there's
right.
a list. And you can actually plan your whole trip around all these little 50 things about this, 50 things about that. And it's kind of a cool way of pulling all your interests together and working out as a photographer, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah, nice.
So that was I think something I want to look into a little bit more. Now, if you're a landscape photographer, of course, these apps that give you sunrise and sunset times are pretty darn cool.
Yep.
Yeah, I think it's essential. But I came across one called Sunseeker, which I thought was pretty, was a bit different.
Okay.
It's a little bit interesting in that it gives you basically you point your phone at the horizon. The only downside is when you have to be in the location. You can't, Google up what time's the sun going to set. Yeah, so other apps will do that.
Yep.
But let's say I'm going to Delhi. So I'm in Delhi and I want to know, this awesome looking location. I want to know where the sun's going to set. Where's it going to set and what's it going to hit when it sets? And it'll give you not only the exact location, it'll draw you like an arc showing you where the sun's going to come down on that landscape.
Yep.
So you'll be able to position where you need to stand so it's going to hit. Thing. But it'll also show you what's going to hit as far as it'll give you a bit of an overlay where the rays of the sun are going to hit the buildings or the rocks or trees or the whatever it is. So you get a bit of a feel. The angle of what your shot could be before the sunset happens.
Nice.
I think that's pretty darn interesting. You know, it's got a whole different feel for as a photographer. You're trying to visualize what's going to happen. And if you're only going to be there for one night, you've got one or two opportunities. That'd be pretty darn cool. You'd hate to waste it in a spot that kind of sucks.
Yeah, absolutely.
So for about $5, it sounds like a pretty good they are pretty good at all round, I would say, but any landscape photography, even if you're travelling or not.
$5 well spent.
Well, I would think so. I mean, people agonise over buying an app. Oh, it's $3, you know, $3. It doesn't even buy you a cup of coffee. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't even buy you a bad cup of coffee.
No.
You know, but $3 for an app that you could change the way you shoot, buy it. Yeah. Invest the lousy cup of coffee and do your body a favor and get some great ways that thing had a shoot. Another one I found was Geotagger.
Okay.
Spelt as all the young kids today would spell T-A-G-R as you do.
Right.
And it's basically it tracks your phone's movement as best I can play. You turn your app on the beginning of the day. It has it sort of running in the background, and it tracks the GPS movement of where you're going during the course of the day.
Right.
And let's say you're going for a full day, 14-hour shooting or whatever, you're shooting like crazy. There's no way you can remember everywhere you were, you know.
Yep.
But then at the end of the day, you upload the information, and it connects to your camera information, your photo file information,
yep.
And it will tag your information, your photos.
Nice.
So therefore, you'll know where each shot taken exactly, which I think is a vital tool. So if you are traveling for a fair period of time,
obviously it would be critical in this particular app to make sure that the current time setting in your phone exactly matches the time setting in your camera.
Exactly. Yeah. Otherwise, it's just a total waste of time, Bruce.
Yes, I can imagine.
So don't have your phone still set on. Yeah, but my phone's always 5 minutes ahead of time, so it's kind of weird. So yeah, I have to set my camera 5 minutes ahead of time to make it work.
Right.
And if someone out there in the wide world can explain why my phone's 5 minutes, doesn't matter what country I go to, doesn't matter, whenever it changes time, it always changes time to 5 minutes ahead of what it actually should be.
How do you know it's the phone that's wrong?
Well, because my... Well,
how do you know you're not just living your whole life on a 5 minute delay?
No, I'm 5 minutes ahead of time, baby. I'm up there. I'm ahead. I'm in the future, baby.
Your phone's 5 minutes ahead.
My phone's 5 minutes ahead. Yeah, so therefore I'm 5 minutes ahead because I've got the phone on me all the time.
No, you're 5 minutes behind. Your phone's ahead, but you're not with it.
No, the phone's with me. It's in my hands. And it says to me, it's 10 o'clock right now. Even though it's only 9:55 where you are.
Right.
Yeah, so I've got to... So I'm just one of those, you know, there's people that live life to not the fullest, but an extra 5 bits as well.
Right.
It's kind of weird. My wife has the same phone on this plan with the same phone people, and hers is great time. So
wow.
I don't know. I must have Greenwich Mean Time plus 5. So it's very strange. But they definitely have to make sure those two are set up. And basically, when you import your photos into like Lightroom, you import this GPX file at the same time, and it maps and syncs them together, and there you go.
Wow.
Once again, that sounds like $5 well spent to me.
Totally.
So
I'm going to check that one out.
Yeah, absolutely. And one for you. Bruce, I found one for you.
Oh, yeah?
It's called I Love You Long Time. No, sorry. It's called Long Time. Just Long Time, not the I Love You.
Right.
And basically, it's for people who use ND filters, 5-stop, 10-stop, everything else. It's a calculator. It just calculates exposure. Done for you.
Yep. I have another app that does that.
Dude, well, pimp that one while you're at it.
I can't remember what it's called. I just know.
Well, it's got a long time. Not quite as long time.
see, my problem is right. I'm such a geek that I have my Android system set not to display the app titles, so I just have the icons on screen, but no titles under them. So I just look at it and I go. I was having this conversation at work today with someone about some.
The picture kind of looks a little bit like this, like a flower.
That was exactly it. We were talking about photo editing apps, and he was talking about Photoshop Essentials, and I said, "Oh, I use this one." And he goes, "What's it called?" And I go, "I don't know. It's a little blue icon with a white camera and a pair of scissors." I had to actually launch the app and then go about to find out what it was called.
Oh man! So you'll post them in the notes. Don't put down the title of the app. Just put the picture of the icon for us. It's got a bit of a treasure hunt, Bruce.
Go and look for this app.
Let's start the Shutterstick photo treasure hunt. And the first person to is it to the free app, Bruce?
Yes, it was.
Is it free?
Yes.
Okay, the first person to find the app gets it for free. There you go.
Yeah, fantastic.
Oh, no, Treasure Hunt. Well, this one's also free, so a long time as well. So
cool.
If you can't find a funny one that Bruce has got. Another one I use a little bit that I kind of like is called Pocket Scout. And basically, you just walk up, let's say you find a cool, crusty, rusty old building, pop out your phone, you take a photo of it, GPS tags it, and it's got some notes. You can add notes to it to say where it is and what you found, what you liked about it.
Right.
Boom, 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 boom. And anytime you're in an area, as you build this up over a period of time, you could be out traveling somewhere. Say, oh, I think I've been around here before. Was there anything worth shooting? And it'll pick up where you are and show you all the things in the area that you tagged.
Right.
Which I think is pretty darn cool. It can also email it too. So if you want to say to a friend, oh, I want to meet you at the rusty old truck I found. Well, where is it?
Yep.
Here's all the coordinations. Here's everything there.
Right.
Coordinations, coordinates.
I knew what you meant.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. I've used it a little bit. Yeah, I'm glad someone does. I often don't. So that's a pretty cool app. And two last ones. It's just succinct it a bit. Model releases.
Yeah, yes.
If you're traveling, you think you've just taken an absolute corker of a shot that you want to pimp all the way around. There's lots of apps out there that do release forms on your phone. There's one out there called Easy Release for about $10, which I use, which I think is pretty cool. If you're unsure, and that can be a tricky thing to do in countries with language issues.
Yep.
But it's not a bad thing if you can get some sort of approval to use the image for who knows what down the track. And finally, Pickfari. It's like Safari, but with pick in front of it. And
okay.
Taking off the SA.
Yep.
Anyway, it's called Pickfari. It's basically a way of pre-planning your trip. But it's a little bit like they're stuck on Earth. But this one, you can go through and view. They've got like 15,000 photos of 300 or 400 of the top tourist places around the world. And basically, you know, it gives you a whole bunch of photographs in that area, but then you can actually, because it's all GPS tagged as well, you can actually say, well, I want to go from here to here to here to here to here. It'll map out the trip for you and tell you how long it's going to take to do them all and all that kind of stuff, which is pretty cool. If you're in a city for a day and want to maximize your time, doing something like that could be a really cool way to get quite a lot of shots in. And see the key things in the area that people have been shooting. But also, you know, if people told you, oh, you got to go see this, it's awesome, you look it up and all the photos aren't really to your style, your taste, and if the location doesn't do it for you, then you can skip it before you even go there. You don't waste the time.
Yeah, right.
So that was a pretty cool one as well. So that's a few.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'd like to tell my wife I know everything, but she knows differently. Just because we've come across these, I'd love to know what other people use, what they love, what they find that helps their photography.
There are a multitude of compass apps available, both in the Android store and presumably in the iOS store.
Well, it comes free with the Apple. That's why you buy the Apple.
Sure. So, you know, it's not the kind of thing I use every day, but I love having it on the phone. The one that I have...
You're a key.
Yeah. It'll allow me to store the GPS coordinates of where I currently am located. So like you were saying about, you know, the idea of, you know, taking a photo of a location to remind yourself to come back. Similar kind of thing, I guess.
Yeah.
It's nice to have the GPS coordinates.
Well, you're currently 51 degrees. You're currently 51 degrees northeast, Bruce, of me. Well, the microphone is
right.
It may not be quite accurate, but that stuff. I mean, doesn't that just change the way we shoot as photographers from
totally
10 years ago? I mean, the opportunities it gives us, the stuff you'll find that you'd never know about, is just incredible. I love it.
Yep.
I love it.
Okay. Last thing that we were going to cover.
Yes.
You were going to talk about a photo exhibition that's happening in the States at the moment.
Yeah, it's. I came across this one today in the University of Richmond, which is probably not something anyone's going to go to, because I don't think it was that particularly important. I mean, you can certainly Google it, I'm sure, if you are in the area, you'd know it anyway. But most of us aren't going to have a chance to go to this exhibition, because there's only 26 photos, but it's done by a Chinese photographer, I'm going to give this a shot, Bruce. I'm going to try and say her name.
Okay.
As I was told, it's Liu Xia. Liu Xia. So
okay.
It's spelled L-I-U-X-I-A. And I've got my good friend Mike Holman landscape photographer extraordinaire from New Zealand, whose beautiful wife, Viv,
yep.
Is Chinese. She told me how to say it. But she was naked in another room, apparently, and yelling out through a muffled doorway. So it may not quite have been Liu Xia. It might have been, something totally different. But what makes her stand out is she's the wife of a Nobel Peace Prize winner.
Right.
Nothing extraordinary in that. I mean, that doesn't make a great photographer. But he's been in jail for, of their 40-odd years of marriage, he's been in jail for, I think, 30 of them, over four different trips, because he's trying to get democracy into China. So that's obviously working out well for him. But she is under house arrest in Beijing. She's under house arrest in Beijing and is never allowed to leave, basically. But she's a photographer as well as an artist.
Okay.
And people smuggle out her photographs. She managed to get ways to get some of her photographs smuggled out. But because she's stuck inside this one house, effectively, it kind of limits what you get to shoot.
Yeah.
But she's got this series of photographs of dolls.
Okay.
They're all black and white, all the edgy black and white photographs, that stretch of dolls. I guess the only way I could describe the photographs is they are anti-propaganda propaganda photos. The old propaganda style imagery you can kind of visualize. But she's using the images. The images are quite harrowing in some ways. They're fairly stark, and they're sort of anti the propaganda of what the lifestyle they actually are living in. And this is part of, I imagine, the reason why she's locked up. But the images are, for what she's got to work with in the environment she's got to work in, are astoundingly good.
Yeah, right.
Now, as far as I know, there's only between like 25 and 30 images of hers out in the world anyway. And you can Google and come across a few of them. But I think it's just fascinating, and how art can transcend, not only the circumstances she's in, the environment she lives in, the oppression she's living as a day-to-day thing, but she still uses her art to express and to talk to the rest of the world. It's fascinating.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
it'd be all nice and noble to say that, maybe we photographers could unite and free her, but the reality is we're not that organized. But it's, I'm just talking about myself again. But it's just an amazing series of images. They're not going to win any prizes for, that's the most awesome photo I've ever seen in my life, but put it in its context, its environment, and its story. And it's fantastic stuff.
Yeah, right.
Just wonderful stuff to look at. So, every week I do these podcasts. I personally, I'm always looking. I live photography 24/7. I don't sleep very much anyway. But I'm embedded. I'm coming across stuff all the time, and I want this podcast to be us sharing stuff. Not just me and you, but the people are listening. I found this week. Let's share it with everybody. Let's just all learn and help get ourselves as better and see things in different ways. And it's a great medium to do it, because it's a community, this,
Definitely.
And we can all share and show off stuff. So listeners, if you come across something that just has an impact on you, or something you've been following for a while, let us know. We'd love to see it.
Absolutely. You can either email it to us at theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com, or just swing by the Facebook page at facebook.com/shuttersincpodcast. Or if you're friends with Glenn or I, just flick us a message on Facebook, and we'll just add it to our list of stuff we're going to talk about in the next episode.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I want to see more stuff. I've never been able to quench the thirst to see stuff. I mean, I don't retain a lot of stuff. I like looking into things, 5% deep, and keep on going. that's my life. I can tell you the 5% depth of just about anything on the planet. But I like to absorb a little bit and move on to the next thing. That's how I've lived my life. And so let's share this stuff and absorb a bit of stuff with each other. As weird as that kind of sounds.
Definitely.
In a purely non-romantic way, of course. This is rated, not rated G, this podcast, is it?
It is.
Oh, because you didn't tell me beforehand. Maybe we should put at least a parental guidance recommended.
Excellent, mate. Well, thank you for that.
Well, it's been lovely talking to you.
Likewise. And you got anything on the radar for the next 7 days?
Yeah, I've got a workshop on Good Friday.
Oh, you're kidding. Have you got anyone coming along?
Yeah, it's full. Yeah. Well, there's nothing to do on Good Friday. Yeah, the football's not even on. So, you know, I think they're saying, well, what else can we do? Oh, there's a workshop. I set these dates for the company I do workshops
for. They're all
for.
Atheists, yeah. Mate, so you can tell all the religious jokes you like.
I'm serving nothing but meat. You know, there's not a fish sandwich to be seen at lunch, I'll tell you. No Easter eggs. Oh, I should do that. I'll take Easter eggs for everyone. Because that's nothing says religion better than a piece of chocolate wrapped up in foil.
Except, aren't Easter eggs Sunday? It's meant to be hot cross
buns
on
Friday.
Yeah, but
I'm not going to see them on Sunday, are they?
It's meant to be hot cross buns on Good Friday.
I'm not getting those. I'll give an egg each. I'll give them a nice little surprise. So I've got a workshop on Friday. I've got a workshop on Saturday and then a little bit of time with the kids. And then it's school holidays, so I'm stuck with them.
Right.
Daddy daycare. So I think of imaginative things to keep a 5-year-old interested for 2 weeks. So.
Yeah, good luck.
But it's just the normal stuff. I've got a workshop series in LA being planned at the moment for end of May, which is looking very exciting.
Nice.
I'm trying not just waiting for my paperwork to come back from the customs and the passport people who. So I can get into India as soon as possible. And
yep.
That's kind of about it at the moment.
Cool.
It's just the same. Oh, of course, next weekend I've got my casting call weekend at the old film set, which I'm hanging out for.
Oh, so what day is that?
That's the 5th, 6th and 7th of April, so the weekend after Easter.
Oh, right.
And, Mike's coming in from New Zealand again. We're going to have a ball. It's going to be a lot of fun. So
cool.
Looking forward to spending 2 days of shooting. So
yeah. Well, flick me the link for that and I'll chuck that in the show notes as well.
I'll do that. Because I think we've got 2 places left, just, hint, hint.
Cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Anybody, please.
All right, mate. Well, have a good week.
You too.
And
just immerse yourself in a bit more Bruce-ness for the rest of the week. And, remember those little moments when it was just you and him together and 20,000 other people.
That's it. Absolutely.
Good stuff, mate.
Talk to you next week.
Bye.
See ya.
Shutters Inc., another audio2you.com quality podcast. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.